Who's in? Who's out? The Match Committee.
A very good evening to you. In normal circumstances, we would be less than 2 hours away from the bounce of the ball, and Richmond taking on Collingwood is how we would start round two. Unfortunately, for obvious reasons, that is not the case. But the Match Committee is here with thanks to the BT50 Mazda stock clearance, which is on now. Jack Heverin joined by the Port Adelaide champion, Kane Corns. Kane, I didn't mean to start us off on a somber note by saying that we're missing out on Richmond and Collingwood, but it would be one hell of a way to start the weekend.
Oh, wouldn't it be? If the world's not depressing enough as it is, footy, one of the great games it would have been, would be that excited about it. In fact, just looking through the round, there are some cracking games. I mean, even tomorrow night, Sydney off the back of a good win up against Essendon at the SCG, Melbourne and Giants would have been great. Carlton, could they respond in the Bulldogs? They were awful. And then the big one, which I was so looking forward to for about 4 months now since the fixtures come out, was the showdown in Adelaide, where Port Adelaide were going to be wearing their prison bar jumper in their 150th year celebration. But it is not the case, and we'll power on. Can I just say on the Mazda BT50, I came over in one from Adelaide.
You have too, yeah. How was your drive?
Magnificent. So check them out. They are an absolute beast of a machine. So thank you to their support as well and for getting me here safely.
Beautiful. And nice to have you here as well. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to whip through some of footy's big issues from the last couple of days. You've also put together a team for later on this hour of those who, unfortunately, because of what's going on with COVID-19, we might not see again.
Just struck me as the players left the clubs on Monday. Would any of them been thinking this could be for the last time? And we always think of a great player, and we're talking some of the absolute greats, not getting a farewell game, just leaving the football club and not coming back with the prospect of the season not coming back. So it's more of a celebration for us here today. If football doesn't come back, I've put together my all-time playing team currently that may not take the field again, and we'll get you involved in that as well. Send us a speckled text whenever you like.
You are a man who loves a list, and I'm looking forward to that one a little bit later on. We might also, towards the end of the hour, we might also have a bit of a mock round two selection. We'll go through some of the tips and who we thought might have come out on top. But let's start with the news of the day. And we start with the Blues, who late this afternoon, Kane, have via a press release have informed us all that they have ceased their alignment with the Northern Blues. Incredibly difficult decision, the club has said in their statement, and said that the COVID-19 situation has decimated the industry, with the sad reality meaning that the alignment between the two clubs is no longer financially viable in its current form. It is a great shame. I mean, every club is going to have to have a really good close look at every line item that they spend money on from here on in, but the alignment between AFL and VFL clubs has been quite a strong one for a while now. So this is a real shame.
It is. And the first thing I think of automatically is people that have lost their jobs. So out of this and this week, we have never seen a worse week. And I don't think we ever will, hopefully, ever in the history of the game. It's just been absolute carnage. So when I read this press release, I thought of Josh Fraser, the coach, who goes home tonight to his family and doesn't have a job. And for all the football staff and the footy department there, the players who, you know, probably rely on match payments as well, not going to be getting that, and also their love and their contribution to the game at more of a grassroots level. So absolutely all of our sympathies, and I just wonder whether this means when the game does get up and running, the prospect of each club having a reserves team and a reserves competition. Now, that would cost money and that'll be financial, so whether the AFL is in a position to do that, but this was really sad news. And there's a lot of coaches from the lower levels that have all been stood down this week. We interviewed the premiership coach in the Sandful on SENSA this morning, and he's been stood down. Premiership coach from last year, Mark Stone, who was an assistant coach in the AFL, signed a long-term deal, and his future is up in the air, as is, you know, the 10 teams in that competition. So absolute carnage right through the AFL and also the lower levels, which is filtering down with this news today.
Interesting as well, that little side note, that David Teague, who's the current Blues senior coach, began his coaching career with the Northern Bull Ants, as they were, and progressed through the ranks there. So the links between these two go right back. There's other alignments in the VFL competition right now and others in other state league comps. So it's very much a watch this space, but the impact of COVID-19 really, really hurting. And we're thinking of the Northern Footy Club as well, who we don't know what that looks like for them going forward. So we'll keep you up to date with that one. Let's stay on some of the cost cuts at clubs, Kane. Mark Brayshaw, the head of the AFL Coaches Association today, is said to have spoken to a number of coaches and assistant coaches in particular and said, look, it might be worth assessing your options and getting in touch with Centrelink about some relief may be one option.
And that's the reality. That is what's happening. That is true. I'm involved in just a WhatsApp messenger group from the 2004 Premiership side, and the amount of coaches, assistant coaches that we have from that side is unbelievable. And the message is, in that group, if you need to find Centrelink, and David Hutton is the welfare manager at Port Adelaide, sending out that message to great assistant coaches, you know, people that have been involved in football from the time that they could walk, now no longer have a job, and they've been told that this week. So it just absolutely breaks my heart. There's, you know, probably over 100 assistant coaches in the game this week that have lost their job, for the, you know, most of them temporary, hopefully, and there's a date where they hope to get back. But I know my brother is an assistant coach at Port Adelaide, and he was told this week that he'll have to stand down for a couple of months and then they'll reevaluate the situation, but probably no guarantees on his future. He's out of contract moving forward. So to see my brother as strong and as big and as the person that I've looked up to so much in my life, you know, not have a job right now, it absolutely kills me and breaks my heart. Now he's handling it magnificently, and he's in a lot better situation than a lot of other people out there this week, but it doesn't make it easier because football is all these guys have known. And the great thing about an assistant coach was it was just a beautiful transition from playing to assistant coach. You got to manage, you know, the players underneath you. You use what you learn as a player and develop, you know, have the ability and the joy, I guess, to develop players underneath you. And I really do fear for the career path now that was once such a stable career path for players retiring and transitioning into coaching.
Yeah, so what do you think it looks like? I mean, you understand the inner workings of a footy club, and as you say, Chad, you've got intimate knowledge of his role. What does it look like when we come back? We don't know when we're going to come back, so we're guessing at that, but I think what we know for certain is that things are going to be tight. So the luxury of assistant midfield coaches and four or five in the welfare and development department, do you think that that's going to change possibly forever?
Yes, I do. So I think the biggest area that will suffer is the development side of things. So I suspect, and we'll speak about it a little bit later on with when we do get into the team that we may never see again, I suspect lists will be cut from, say, 45 at the moment to 32, 35.
You think it's that savage?
I think it will be.
And no rookie list?
And maybe no rookie list. There may be some other sub list or something like that. I'm not sure how it looks. So what will happen is the lesser players or the second tier just won't be there. And we'll just have a real focus on the stars. So there won't be that development side of the game, which clubs have invested so strongly in. Like, clubs all have a development manager, a head of development. Yep. They've probably got three or four development coaches working underneath them. Chad was an assistant coach, but also a development coach with the forwards under the senior forwards coach. So it's going to be really stripped back. I think you'll have a head coach, and I just think it'll be old school midfield coach, forward line coach, defensive coach, and maybe a coaching director, and that'll be it.
Do you have concerns about clubs' welfare departments? Like, yep. Is welfare one of the first things that they unfortunately might have to look at and say, well, we just don't have the $500,000 to pay two or three staff in that department?
I hope that they haven't stripped back the welfare department now. So if I was going to strip back anything, it wouldn't be the development and welfare path now. I think the development role, if you've got a good one, so important in the player's mental health, and I spoke about it on Footy Classified on Monday. They need so much support now, as do the assistant coaches. Like, we're thinking about players, they'll be okay. Most of them will be okay and come back, and footy will come again. But some of these coaches will be labourers, you know, this time next week, and they won't ever get back into footy. And how would that be coping with that mental strain when all you have ever known is play footy from the time you could walk? So the development side of things, clubs need to and have to invest and continue to invest in. Some things cannot be sacrificed, and that's certainly one that I don't think. Otherwise, the illicit drugs problems that we've seen and the alcohol problems and gambling will all pop up again. Clubs and the AFL Players Association need to support our players through these times.
Your point's an interesting one about the way that lists will change, that maybe it'll go from 45 to 32, which is savage when you think about it. So if it was to go down that model, do you think that there's more money for the top end and less for the bottom end, or could it go the other way and things flatten out? So will the top wage not be as high as what it once was? And will, say, a $750,000 contract become a $500,000 contract?
That will certainly happen. So instead of the nine players getting $1 million now, which we know happens, I think the top paid players will be capped at around 700, and there might be three, four, five of those. Mm. But the best players will still get the bulk of the money. So the current structure, I think now, and we've seen it more with the Giants and Collingwood have done similar, the best four or five get massive money. There's a huge gap in the middle, and then you've got a lot of foot soldiers. A lot of foot soldiers, yep, on minimum chips with match payments, and still a pretty good wage if you play every game, clearly. But I think that's the way it'll still go. So the best still get the best, and they'll determine whether you win games or not. And then you'll need a lot of foot soldiers that are all paid around the same. I think there'll be a massive gap in the middle. Yeah, that's the way I see it going.
We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. We'll talk about round one as well, what you liked about round one, and also what you might like to keep from what we saw for the round one matches as well. It's the match committee for the BT50 Mazda stock clearance. It is here. You can join us, of course, 0433 98 11 16 on the Speckle text. And as we head to the break, our community is doing it incredibly tough. Small businesses, as we know, are trying to navigate through unseen economic challenges. Together with the Australian Institute of Business, you can go to aib.edu.au. They are Australia's number one online MBA provider. At SEN, to help, we've launched the new SEN Small Business Grant Initiative. Grants of up to $10,000, $100,000, I should say, are available in lots of $5,000 for an SEN advertising campaign. All you need to do, jump online, sen.com.au/grants, and tell us why your business needs a helping hand. It's all thanks to the support of the Australian Institute of Business. We could not possibly do this without them. Study with Australia's number one online MBA provider, the experts in online learning. You can enrol today at aib.edu.au. More to come. Stay with us.
Who's in? Who's out? The match committee.
Everybody, no matter what your position, has got to fall into line and back the people that really know what they're talking about, because it's only natural to have opinions and even criticise things that don't seem to make any sense in the moment. But we won't get through it unless everyone just falls into line. And the time for assessment and analysis, I think, will come once we get through this. Now's the time just to fall into line and do as we're told.
Chris Scott talking earlier this week on SEN that we all need to fall in line, and the coach's directive is to do as you're told. It's not like a coach to tell the players to do what they're told, is it? It's the match committee for the Mazda stock clearance. It ends soon. You can save with new driveway pricing across the Mazda BT50 4x4 ute range, the same 4x4 ute that Kane Corns trekked from South Australia to Victoria and cruised all the way here.
Can't miss it.
With the window down and his arm out.
You got stickers everywhere. And it's all over it. So I don't know what that, my computer's just going off there, but there we go. That's on mute now. It should be in there. Sorry, Jack. There's stickers all over it. So if you see me driving around the streets of Melbourne, I'm stuck here. I can't get back. I'm sorry. The South Australians don't want me. I know the Victorians don't want me, but give us a wave and say good day. We all need a bit of a smile at the moment.
My word, we do. So that was Chris Scott before the break. What have you made of the conversation? Everyone's weighed in this week. I know you've been strong on SENSA Breakfast, but for our Melbourne audience who may not have heard your thoughts, and for all audience who may not have heard your thoughts, what are you making of all of this right now?
Well, we know what the AFL game looks like without the fans, right? It's awful.
Shocking.
It's a terrible product.
Shocking.
Without fans. So my thoughts are the AFL players have to do whatever they can to keep the fans on side. And I don't think they've done that. Now, I'm going to stand up here and be critical because I know players have mortgages and all of that. But for the average fan who is doing it really tough at the moment, they don't need to hear Patrick Dangerfield say, well, show us your books, AFL. I thought that was in poor taste, because if Patrick Dangerfield needs to see the books, he's kidding himself, because the books are 80% of people lost their jobs at the AFL on Monday. That's a pretty good indication of what the books look like.
Yeah, so the books are no good.
No, the books are terrible. So yeah. I thought that was an insensitive comment, and perhaps I've just focused on that one too much. And maybe they're being poorly advised by the AFL Players Association. And I think trotting out the line of, only a month or so ago, we raised $8 million for the bushfires. Well, that wasn't just the players. Like, the players didn't dig in and pay $8 million. That was people turning up to the game and donating. That was people at home donating. That was the fans as well. It wasn't the AFL's players putting their hands in their pocket and donating $8 million. That relied on everyone, the footy community. So I thought
we all donated to the bushfires. Yeah,
exactly. I thought that was poor as well and poor advice. So my advice to the players is do whatever you can to keep the fans on side, because the only way this game will recover is when the fans are allowed back in and they will build the game back up again. So I think the advice that they've got currently, if I'm just your average dyed-in-the-wool AFL fan, I'm looking at these players going, you've gone about this the wrong way.
And that's on the back of the previous week, Paul Marsh, who I think does a fantastic job, by the way, as the head of the AFL Players Association. In the midst of all the uncertainty of whether we were going to play round one at all, Paul Marsh used that forum to ask for a 22-round season instead of the 17 that was proposed. Now, hindsight tells us we're probably not going to get 17, but the timing of that felt really, really wrong as well.
What we're dealing with is something that the medical experts can't predict. Like, the smartest minds in the world can't predict where this is going. So for the AFL players to predict it, for Paul Marsh to predict it, is naive at best, I think, and stupid at worst. So let's just see where it sits in a couple of months. And I think that's what most players have got their head around. So take what you can now, assess it in 2 months. Hopefully it's in a much better position and then they can sit down and renegotiate. But what we know is, the AFL fans, the AFL players, I should say, are going to suffer like everyone.
Kane, I think back to the cricket negotiations from 3 years ago off the top of my head, and that didn't go well for the Australian cricketers. Mm. At the time, they were seen to be arrogant. They were seen to be asking for too much money. In the end, it came back the other way, and they did a deal that made sure that the women's cricketers were able to go full-time. So it spun 360 in their latest negotiation. But I remember at the time the perception from fans was that these guys are so out of touch with society, rolling up to negotiations in $2,000 suits and rolling up in their Ferraris and all that sort of stuff. They looked ridiculous when they did it to the average punter and to sports fans. And I just hope that footballers, who are pretty good normally at getting a sense of what the feeling of the fans are, I hope they can get this sentiment at the moment.
So this is a completely out of this world experience and one that they're going to have to sacrifice. I actually supported the players for their demand for a pay increase and a fixed share of the revenue at the time. I thought, well, yeah, hang on. They're putting on the show. Without them, we're nothing. The game is nothing. They put their bodies on the line every week. Their career lifespan is really short. So I thought a 28% percentage of the fixed of the revenue of the AFL was fair. I thought, well, that's a fair number. But we heard at the time them saying 28 when things go well. And I clearly remember them saying, if the revenue the game generates drops, it's 28% of whatever the revenue is, good or bad. Now, no one would have thought that the game would come back. We just all thought it was bulletproof and it was going to continue and the players would continue to get richer and richer. Well, what do you know? It's come back. So you have to take the good with the bad, and that's the situation that the players are facing right now.
28% of nothing is nothing still, correct. No matter what way you dress it up.
Correct.
Hey, to the footy from last weekend, it feels like a lifetime ago now. What did you see that you liked from it?
I think what I saw, so let's go what I would like to see introduced, because I thought the umpires were really tough on deliberate out of bounds.
By
kick, and that was just a thing that I noticed. I think it's time, and I've resisted this for a while. I think it's time we just go last possession out of bounds.
So do you really?
If you kick the ball out of bounds, it comes off your boot, like the AFLW, like they do in the sample, which I've watched a bit, and it works really well. I remember going on radio and launching at the sample when they brought in this rule. I said, this is the most stupid rule I've ever heard of. I don't like it, but I was wrong on that. I've seen it. I've watched it. It works really well. And if the umpires are going to be that tough on deliberate out of bounds, just make it so everyone knows and it's blanket. Then we won't have the interpretation problems. If you handball out of bounds, if you kick it out of bounds, it's a free kick. So I'd like to see that come back in. I personally don't like shorter quarters because I'm more of the gladiatorial nature of AFL where you can grind your opponent.
Last man standing sort of stuff.
Like we saw Robert Harvey do and Nathan Buckley and, you know, the great duels of Carey and Djokovic and who can last the longest and sustain it. So I didn't like the shorter quarters, but I know a lot of fans did. So there's a couple of things I took out of it. And, you know, maybe it's an 18 plus time on because when it's a poor game, and I saw a couple of poor games, I saw Gold Coast and called the Gold Coast Port Adelaide game. I was ready for that to finish pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think the Suns were too after quarter time.
Yeah. But equally, I was at Marvel for the North Melbourne and St Kilda game, and I would have loved to have seen an extra 20 minutes in that game because it was terrific. And the Adelaide Sydney game was great as well. So, yeah, I think leave the time as it is, but I know a lot of the fans enjoyed the shorter quarters.
You can keep your thoughts coming through on the Speckle text 0433 98 11 16. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. With all of the uncertainty around at the moment, the reality is, one thing that we can be certain on is that some players, unfortunately, may have played their last game depending on when it comes back. We don't want to shine a negative light on it. What we want to do is just take a bit of a look forward and celebrate some of those names who, because of the circumstances, we may not get to see play again. Kane's team that we may never see again as we celebrate some of the great names of our game is up next here on the Match Committee for the Mazda stock clearance, which ends soon. You can save with new drive-away pricing across the Mazda BT50 4x4 ute range.
Who's in? Who's out? The Match Committee.
Great to have your company on the Match Committee, Kane Corns and Jack Heverin. We're here with thanks to the Mazda BT50. The clearance is on now. You can check it out. Kane's cruising around the streets of not just Melbourne, but Victoria in his Mazda BT50, and he is absolutely loving it. You can join us off the Speckle text 0433 98 11 16. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. A couple of thoughts, Kane, on what we were talking about earlier with the players and the pay cuts. The AFLPA is clearly advised new leadership is needed. Another one, maybe the current players need to have a think about the fact that the more money they demand now, the less chance they're going to be able to get a job in footy post-career. And this one too, Patrick Dangerfield lost me a long time ago, suggesting the season was so hard, more games without a question until there was a bonus with AFLX. He jumped on that. He no doubt drives a sponsored car too. I had to buy mine. I had to buy mine too, by the way. I think with Patrick Dangerfield, and I said the same with Paul Marsh, they are the mouthpieces for that organisation. So we don't know how many of the players believe those views. That could be the popular view with every single player, and it's Paul and Patrick's job to speak on behalf of their constituents. So it's a challenging time.
It's a polarising role. It's Matthew Pavlich, I thought, did a pretty good job of that, and I think he just had a better feel for public sentiment. Now, you could say, well, Pav didn't have to deal with anything like this, and that's right. Pav was there when the game was absolutely flying. But, yeah, it's a tough role, and you've got to stick up for the players, and you've got to have the players' best interests at heart. But the advice that they've been given this week, as I said, was off, if I was advising them.
Yeah, I think that's been the case absolutely for certain. Chris Scott said today, by the way, that he doesn't believe what Patrick Dangerfield is saying is necessarily how he feels. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. Maybe it's the advice, but, I mean, Danger's smart enough to not say something that he doesn't believe in, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Unless he's speaking on behalf of everyone, and that's the common view. We're only guessing. So let's go instead and let's celebrate some great careers. Now, we're not retiring anyone off here. Just save your anger on the Speckle text. We're not retiring anyone off. What Kane is saying is that if we do not see any more footy in 2020, there are some very, very good players who we unfortunately may not see again. So you want to celebrate these names.
So the reality is, if list sizes come down, which I think they will, so say from 45 to 35, there's 10 spots across 18 clubs, 180 list spots that won't be available, and then you couple that with, well, clubs are still going to want the best available talent in the draft. So 60 to 70 will still come in. So all of a sudden, there's a 250-player swing of players that we once saw and we won't. So players that would usually get an extra deal and clubs would say, like Justin Westhoff at Port Adelaide this year, yeah, we think you've got a little bit more footy in with you. We'll go with you again. They won't get those luxuries again. So my point of view is, like, I had a great last game. I had my family there. I had 50 tickets that I requested from the club. We didn't win, but I had my kids run me out on the ground. I had a guard of honour from all the people that I love as I entered the ground, and then we went and celebrated after. These players won't get that.
Yeah, because you were able to set the date for your last game, weren't you?
Yeah, and it was one of the, even though we lost, it was one of the great memories that I've got, and the cheer squad gave me a banner. There was Kane Corns, you know, bobbleheads in the crowd and all sorts of things. The club did.
Have you still got one of those Kane Corns bobbleheads?
I knew. The club did an unbelievable job. Yep. And Ken Hinckley and the way that they celebrated my career, I'll never, ever forget. Now, we're going to talk about some of the great players of the game, the history of the game that may not get that opportunity. So it's just worth keeping that in your back of your mind. So I've put together the team. Digital guys will put it out online, but let's go from the back line. So we'll start with Ben Reid at Collingwood. He's 30 years of age. Body's let him down. We know that. So I've got him in the back pocket. He played 150 games. His teammate is now Jordan Roughhead, who if brutal calls are made, he may be unlucky. And it's a real shame because I thought at Collingwood last year, he completely turned his career around and he was one of the best recruits. He played all 24 games, but he's about to turn 30. And James Frawley, the other back pocket from Hawthorn, great career. 226 games, 31 years of age and premierships. His former teammate is Grant Birchall across half back. Probably won't see Birch again if the season is called off. 32 injury worries. Harry Taylor, perhaps the Cats shouldn't have gone with him again this year. This would definitely be his last year.
Yeah.
Regardless, he's sure. What a character he's been across half back.
See, a lot of us thought that he wouldn't go again this year.
Yeah, so if it's called off now,
yeah,
he's not going to go again. 309 games. I know he's chasing down his uncle as well. Tony wants to get him, but I just can't see Heeshaw going on. Again, we're talking about a great player.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's probably a Hall of Famer, I reckon.
Yeah, I think he is.
I think he's probably a Hall of Famer, yep. You know, when the time comes at some point, as is maybe David Mundy. Like, what a player David Mundy has been. 34 years of age, 316 games, second all-time Fremantle games list behind Matthew Pavlich, and everyone's favourite, really. Just gone about it with a minimum of fuss. So I've got him on the wing.
Yeah, I'm glad you put him in because we can be sometimes a bit East Coast vision. We generally only see the teams in and around us. He has been an absolute star for the Dockers. I agree with you.
Gary Ablett.
Yep.
Imagine if we never ever see Gary Ablett again and he does not get the send-off that maybe, well, the best player in my generation, so from 2000 onwards, I think he's clearly surpassed Judd and Hodge and Franklin. I think he's got Franklin, if you look at his body of work, they're probably the four. I know someone else sent me a speckled text of someone I've missed, but the best player that as I said, in my generation and arguably of all time. Like, he's in that group of 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He's a top 10 all-time player, Gary Ablett Jr.
Yep.
And he may not get the send-off that he deserves with his son and all of that and his family in the stands, which is a real shame, and saying goodbye to the Geelong people. Basher Hawley, 31 years of age.
That's interesting. Okay.
Some concerns last year whether it would go on. They made him wait until the end of the season for a contract. So at 31, few injury worries. If list size is a slash, new talent comes in, who knows what Damien Hardwick will do there. And this one hurts. Cross half forward, Sean Burgoyne.
Oh, if that was his last game on the weekend.
Does he go on though? Like, well, if the season is called off, does he go on a year out of the game at 37 years of age, starting to get some niggles? I don't know. That would be a tough
game. I'm going to ask you about that particular proposition of players maybe coming out of this year better off. We'll get to that in a second. Keep rolling through your team. I'm getting a bit misty here.
Justin Westhoff, one of my favourites, one of the most popular iconic figures at Port Adelaide, maybe not across in Victoria, about 33 years of age. Went on last year, tossing and turning, but 269 games, 300 was in reach, but maybe not. What about Mitch Wallace from the Bulldogs?
How old's Mitch Wallace?
He's young enough, but he's not in their best team anymore. And if you are going to make brutal calls, you bring young players in, list size is a slash, these are the guys that are going to miss out. He's only 27.
Someone else would have a go at Mitch Wallace, wouldn't they?
That's what I'm saying.
But I see what you're saying.
It's a quarter of your list.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying, that if there's smaller lists next year, in an ordinary situation, we would say, surely someone will pick up Mitch Wallace. But I see what you're saying, that lists are going to be smaller. There's not that luxury around.
In the forward line, Josh Jenkins, he couldn't get a game for Geelong in round one, so he's...
That was weird.
He's probably finished there, I would think. This one's one of my favourites at full forward. Josh Kennedy actually spoke about this during the week, and this is what put the idea in my mind. He said, I don't know. I don't know which way clubs are going, if list sizes are going to be slashed. This could be my last year, and he was very forthright in that. But 32 years of age, 2 Coleman medals, 6-time leading goal kicker at West Coast, multiple All-Australian premiership player, and just goes about it with a minimum of fuss. He's one of my absolute favourites. So I'd be shattered for him if this was his last year.
Here is a little bit of Josh Kennedy speaking earlier this week.
I suppose those things do come into the thought process. But you don't know. That could be the last game this year. Who knows where the industry is going. There's been a lot of cuts this year in terms of jobs and money that's been coming through the industry. So next year is going to be pretty hard. The years after are going to be hard to get it back up to where the AFL was. They might cut list sizes. So that could be a thing towards the end of the year. So all those things will come in, and it just depends on where the football club, I suppose, see me and a lot of guys in that situation. Sure. But for now, I can't really think about that. That's way too far. Way too long ahead. Yeah. We're just trying to make sure that we stay healthy and do the right thing.
It's good honesty, isn't it?
It is, really. Now, he's one that may benefit from a year freshening up because he's just been banged up for a long time, has hardly done a preseason. So I'd personally go with him again, but it's not a lock that he would. In the ruck situation, Shane Mumford, there's a lot of ruckmen that will continue. I think ruckmen are continuing to play longer and longer, but we know Shane Mumford's probably done if this was...
He's now the insurance for Sam Jacobs, last, isn't he?
Yeah. It was a great pick-up, Sam Jacobs. Yeah. Love what the Giants did there. Nathan Jones at Melbourne. What a travesty that Nathan Jones may not get to 300 games, 286 games, 32 years of age, has gone on again this year. I know the Melbourne fans love him, a former captain, so it'd be a shame if he didn't get to say goodbye to the D's fans. And this one may be controversial, but up in Sydney, the other Josh Kennedy, out of contract this year, 32 years of age, not getting any quicker. If they go young through the midfield, look, he probably goes again, but I think it'll be a borderline call depending on which way Sydney are going and how savage they are with their list rebuild. On the interchange bench, Jake Carlisle, Paul Pioppolo, Tom Liberatore.
Yes, that's come through off the speckled text, actually. Libba's name's come through a couple of times.
And Stephen Hill from Fremantle.
Yeah, we haven't seen him for 3 years, have we?
He was an absolute Ferrari when he was up and running. So 200 games for Stephen Hill and a much-loved player in Perth. So there's some pretty good names there that we may never, ever get to see again. And hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully we get back and play some footy this year, but there's going to be some brutal calls made on players like this.
So you've been in that situation. Put yourself in any of those players that you mentioned. How would you have gone if you didn't play at all for a year with your body, and you kept your body in great condition, and you were lucky that you didn't have too many serious injuries along the way? But could it be a positive for someone like a Sean Burgoyne, as an example? We don't know how many games he would have played this year. Gary Ablett the same. Could they come out of this better off?
I think they'll struggle. So for me, the speed of the game, I would have really struggled.
So it's not their body, it's the pace of the game.
Just the pace. Now, Sean hasn't lost his speed yet, but I'd fear for his soft tissue stuff. You know, a year out of the game, detraining, and then at that age coming back with the explosiveness of the game, how many soft tissue stuff he would have. And Ablett's probably the same.
Sure.
So, but I think someone who's more in the prime of their career, say someone like Patrick Cripps, you know, he's done a lot of work in the last 5 to 6 years. Now, he'll love a couple of months off and he'll come back bigger and fresher and better than ever. Bontempelli's probably the same. Played a lot of footy, could do with a few months off and they'll be fine. The older players, the over 30s, I'd worry about.
Keep your nominations coming through. There might be a couple that Kane may not have had in his team that you think should be in there. 0433 98 11 16. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. And that'll be up on the website a little bit later on tonight as well. Reminder as well, and fantastic news, the AFL Record Digital Edition is out tomorrow. The boys, Mick Lovett leading the charge, is going to keep this juggernaut rolling all through the season, even though there isn't, in fact, a season right now. They've never missed in 100 years the footy record, and they're going to keep going. It's available at sen.com.au and the SEN app as well. We're going to come back with some of the stuff that you might have missed, and we might do a little bit of a mock tipping segment for round two. It's the Match Committee.
Who's in? Who's out? The Match Committee.
It is the Match Committee. It's all thanks to our great mates at Mazda, the 2020 Mazda BT50. Stock clearance is here. Kane Corns and Jack Heverin. Kane's just gone through his team of players that we may never see again. And we don't say that with any joy. We say that because that's the reality if there's no footy for 2020. Off the speckle text, the common names that have been coming through, Kane, are Cade Simpson, Eddie Betts, and yeah, Matthew Cruiser. So interestingly, three from the one club.
Yeah. So it was remiss of me probably not to put in Matthew Cruiser in ruck. Unfortunately, just his body, I don't think he's cut out for it. So probably replace him. You're right on the speckle text with Shane Mumford. Eddie Betts, did he sign for one or two? Got a feeling he signed for two.
Might have been two. Yeah.
So maybe that was.
But you'd
the
think
reason.
There'd be clauses in there after one for either party, wouldn't you?
It depends if there's no games. It'd be hard to argue that for the club. And Cade Simpson, I think he's got another year left in him. I watched him on, what was it, Thursday night. He's still plays like he's 24.
I just assume he'll play forever. Like I just assume that my grandkids will say, gee, that Cade Simpson's a good player.
He's not missed a beat. Like, I just think he's an unbelievable footballer, Cade Simpson. So I'm not ready to retire him just yet. There's a couple coming through. What about Travis Boak? Now, Travis Boak just signed for 2 years at Port Adelaide.
I think he's playing good footy. He's just come off a career best year,
best
I reckon.
Best and fairest he won last year. So he's got another 2 years contracted. And Sam Reed, yeah, I've thought about putting Sam Reed in, but I just thought there was more high-profile players ahead of Sam Reed.
Some of the stuff that you might have missed is thanks to Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. robotbuildingsupplies.com.au. Thought it might be a good opportunity for us to imagine that there was a round two, Kane. Yeah. And I want to start with tonight. Richmond and Collingwood would have been at the MCG. We probably would have had the final teams. Well, they'd be in by now. We'd know if there were any late changes and we wouldn't be too far away from a bounce. Based on what you saw in round one, who would you have tipped in this game?
So I would have tipped, that's hard. Probably Collingwood.
Probably would you really? Collingwood.
Yeah, I think there's a clear top four. I think clear. I know we can overreact after round one, but what else we got to go off? I think Collingwood, Richmond, the Giants and West Coast are the clear top four from what I saw in round one. So I just think Collingwood... No, I just think there's a few more weapons.
Can I ask you on the Bulldogs? Did you have the Bulldogs in your top four before round one?
Not top four. I think I had them six. Okay, so
I had them in the top four, and it's one game. But gee, I've backed off them in a big way after what I saw in that first game.
They were woeful.
And they were beaten up.
For the second time in nearly as many games really. And I just thought their ball use across half back was shocking. Like some of the players. Trying to kick the footy and hit their shin. I was like, are these players actually AFL footballers? So, look, I think they would have bounced back, and we have seen teams lose badly in round one before and come back and play finals. But they did lose to Gold Coast last year. They lost to Carlton a couple of times, and they lost to Fremantle, the Bulldogs.
This is true. Mm. I can get easily seduced, as you can probably tell. So you would have tipped Collingwood?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Okay. A couple of the other highlight matches from the round, the showdown. You would have taken a very close look at this. In fact, your life would have been dominated had there have been footy this week. It would have been all about the showdown.
We would have gone back and relived the great showdown memories. We'd have got some old legends on, Rod Jamieson and Scotty Cummings. We've got them on the program. Oh, it just makes your mouth water, and I'm shattered that this game isn't going ahead. It was big too. It's Port Adelaide's 150th year, and they're celebrating it big time, or they were going to. And it's a big deal whenever Eddie Maguire and Collingwood let Port Adelaide wear the black and white. So they were going to wear that Guernsey in this game. Port Adelaide would have won that. I think the Crows are in a world of pain.
Yeah.
A world of pain.
I don't think that's unfair. They've got a bit of work to do. Would you have been buoyed by what you saw from North Melbourne? Would you have given the Kangaroos a chance against Brisbane at the Gabba on Saturday night? Probably, had there have been a game?
Probably not, but... It was one of the great coaching performances I've ever seen. So I was at.
I agree with that.
I was at this game, and as you were, I think, as well, weren't you?
Yeah, remember we did the game together. Yeah,
of course we did. With Jared. I was thinking you were in the other box calling. With sometimes we have multiple teams, but Jack, it was
one glad of you the, enjoyed your day.
No, yeah. Well, it was one of the most depressing days I've ever had. So that's probably
why it was tough.
I've missed. But as we spoke about on air, now that I remember.
Of course you do.
It was one of the great performances from Reece Shaw, who went down to the boundary line and coached from there. And because there was no crowd, you could just hear his booming voice carrying across Marvel, and the players responded so well. But having said that, I think Brisbane would have been too classy in school for the Gabba.
And Sydney versus Essendon on the Friday night, that game would have been at the SCG.
I can't trust Essendon. I would have gone Sydney on the smaller deck of the SCG.
And there was a bit to take away from Sydney with the way they played in their first game.
I just thought they hung in there, and their midfield's powerful. They've got some young, good players. So I thought they would have been on the edge of the eight.
That's some of the stuff that you will have missed because there is no round two, unfortunately. For Robot Building Supplies, they've got it and they deliver. robotbuildingsupplies.com.au for more information. Kane, you've been here, there and everywhere. Yep. Go and lie down.
I'll be back tomorrow. Looking forward to it. So I hope you can join me for the captain's run at 9.
You're unreal. You are unreal. Sporting Capital up next. We lock and load and we start with the coach of the Australian women's team, Matthew Mott. Stay with us.